Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. We're going to be talking about a subject today that I believe should be valued in every heart and life, that should be looked at as being needful and necessary. In a moment, we'll be talking about evidence of biblical truth. Evidence of biblical truth. Perhaps you've thought of that subject before. Perhaps you've asked the question, how can I trust the Bible? How do I know that it's true? What are the evidences of the truth of the Word of God? But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on that very subject, that very word, that is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So we're going to be talking about that very subject in a moment. But before we get into that, let me remind you of two or three things. First of all, we'd love to have you worship with us this Sunday. Sunday morning at 9:30 is the Bible study hour, where we have the opportunity to go into classrooms, sit, and have dialogue and discussion about the Word of God as individual cell units. We invite you to join us for that Bible study at 9:30 Sunday mornings, and then at 10:45 the morning worship hour, and at 7 o'clock the evening worship time. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a church where expository preaching is the focus, that is the verse-by-verse study of the Word of God, hearing the Word of God that we might heed what God says to us through His Word. Not just a little tidbit of truth, not just a partial truth, but simply looking at the totality of the truth of the Word of God. If you're looking for that kind of church, that kind of preaching and teaching, so that you can learn the Scripture, we'd be delighted to have you with us. If you're looking for a church where the old hymns are sung, where we sing songs that are honorable and honoring to the Lord, where you can hear the words and not just the drum beat or the upbeat of the music. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, we invite you to come and worship with us. We'd be delighted to have you to visit with us this Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:45 for worship service, 7 p.m. for the worship services on Sunday evening. Be delighted to have you as our guest. We've had the privilege for all of these years of meeting you by way of radio on the air. We'd like to meet you in person, having an opportunity to worship with you and to meet you and to greet you. There's one other thing, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us of. We're searching for a part-time pianist. That is, someone that will be in the worship services on Sunday morning and Sunday evening on a part-time basis with a somewhat of a stipend that would be rewarding you for that. But mainly we're looking for that person that has the keyboard expertise and talents that want to use that gift and talent for serving the Lord. You want to utilize and exercise your gift that God's given you at the keyboard for honoring Him in a worship service. We'd love to talk with you. You can reach us by telephone at the church office at 262-7777, 262-7777, and leave your, if no one answers at that time, leave your telephone number and your name for someone to get back in touch with you and to see what God would have you to do in serving Him using your talent and playing the piano. So we're looking to hear from you. It's a need that we have. It's a need that we need have right away. So we'd be delighted to hear from you and see what God will do in placing you in a position that you can honor Him with your gifts and talents of playing the piano. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, are the subject we're talking about is evidence of biblical truth? And you want to join in this dialogue and discussion today, and we invite you to do so. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, get your telephone call directly to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can discuss that with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask the question, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus has already said, thy word is truth. So we're talking about truth. We're talking about the word of God. You know, perhaps you've been in a conversation with people, and I have on occasion recently heard a person talking about, he was in a conversation with someone and they'd had a long dialogue and discussion. Then all of a sudden he kind of made a statement. He said, well, let me just tell you the truth about this. It would seem as though he's been saying something other than truth to begin with, if he's got to say, well, let me just tell you the truth. So the question is, what is truth when we talk about truth? Well, the simplistics of it, the secular dictionary simply says truth is that which is actually so. Truth is that which is actually so. And when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, if we would use that definition from the secular dictionary, that he's speaking that which is actually so, that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. And then Jesus said, thy word is truth. 1 Peter 1:29, the scripture says, the word of God endureth forever. So it is truth, it endures forever, and it is the truth on every subject, whether it be historically, scientifically, theologically, biblically. Truth is the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible professor and professor of theology in Conservative Theological University. Always enjoy the Friday dialogue and discussion with Dr. Phelps as we talk about some central truths or theological doctrinal truths in relationship to the scripture. So Dr. Phelps, welcome aboard today. Delighted to have you with us. We talk about the subject, evidence of biblical truth. Tell us something about the rationale behind that subject, and what are we talking about when we talk about evidence as a biblical truth, and why is that so important?
One of the things I learned from reading the Psalms is that David loved the Word of God. And I'm reading from Psalm 138, verse 2. David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And I like what he had to say there. It seemed that David reckoned that truth and the word of God were the same.
Yes.
And so it is so important that we understand this, that this truth, since truth is the vital ingredient in the formula for faith, the scriptures are considered to be our precious heritage of truth. So I want to share with you and talk with you about this. Let me ask the question, and then I'd like to speak to that question. What evidence is there that the Bible is in fact God's word? There are at least seven things designed in heaven and displayed on earth as evidence of the intervention and revelation of the only true God. The first of those evidences is creation. Creation is the revelation of the Creator. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Creation is the handiwork of God. So you have the testimony of creation all around us, so that no one has any excuse for unbelief. In Romans 1:18, the Apostle Paul stated that many people refuse to allow the truth of the scriptures to be the final authority in life. And we learn that he says in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that verse mean? Well, one thing is that the wrath of God refers to God's holy indignation toward people who refuse the truth. We live in a generation that hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is, they willfully turn away from the truth. And this is an age of apostasy, for many are refusing the truth in order that they may live apart from God and not be convicted or converted. Since this generation refuses to receive the truth, they incur the wrath of God. And you read about that in Romans chapter 1. So what we're trying to say is here, one of the answers to our question about the truth, evidences that the Bible is in fact God's word, is creation. The visible things of creation are there to remind us of the Creator.
That's right.
The second one is Noah's Ark, a refuge from the flood. Back in Genesis chapter 6, 14, the Lord spoke to Noah, saying, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." He was to build the ark. It was a divine provision. The idea of saving Noah and his family from the destruction of the flood revealed God's favor to Noah, a man of faith. Hebrews 11:7 says, the Bible declares to us in that passage that God designed an ark as a place of salvation, that is, saving them from the flood for Noah and his family. It was a divine provision, but it was also a divine revelation. It was by the all-wise designer. The whole plan of the ark was supernaturally revealed to Noah by the Lord. Noah had no earlier model, yet the ark was the ideal dimensions of a seaworthy vessel. What he built was not Noah's invention. The ark was God's revelation, Genesis chapter 6. And the ark was the only place that could be safe. The ark was designed in heaven and displayed on earth for those on the other side of the flood. But it was a divine reminder also that we find in Genesis chapter 9. God has given a sign or token for those on this side of the flood. The rainbow in the clouds is what the God of heaven has displayed on earth as a divine reminder of his covenant with Noah. God has promised that he will never again destroy the world by a worldwide flood. So the rainbow is a visible reminder of things from heaven that are displayed on earth as evidence of the truthfulness of the Word of God.
That is so correct. Dr. Phelps, let me remind our listeners that you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Phelps today, and the subject that we're talking about is evidence of biblical truth. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, biblical truth is my forte. I love biblical truth. I just want to say that I've done a lot of studies, and I've discovered a lot of things in the Bible that are not obvious, but I would have never discovered them in any other version except for the King James.
That's correct.
The King James Bible is the truth, and I think that is necessary for any discussion on biblical truth. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dr. Phelps, would you like to respond to that?
I say amen to what you just
That's
said.
Right.
Many today are turning to other versions of the scriptures, and I believe to our detriment. The book that I have been working on and hope to have printed very soon will show that there is a current trend of moving away from the authorized version and adopting the perverted text of the New Age versions, which will lead to multitudes of people away from true faith. And faith is so important to us. I want to go ahead now with the third evidence that I'd like to suggest.
What you're saying then, if I could interrupt for a moment, Dr. Phelps, what you're saying is that we must trust the Word of God.
Yes.
Must place our confidence in what God's Word says. I've used the term, God said it, that settles it, whether I understand it or not.
Yes. Amen. The Bible is reliable.
Yes.
That's
totally
the way
reliable.
I said.
Go ahead with our study.
Now, a third evidence is the temple, tabernacle in the temple. They were a replica of the heavenly one. Way back in Exodus chapter 25, I read, "According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." God was speaking to Moses and telling him how to build the tabernacle at first. The earthly tabernacle was like the original one in heaven. The tent sanctuary was the place for the worship of God. The temple, built by Solomon later, was magnificent. as a place of worship of the only true God. It was called the house of God. It was planned by God. The idea originated in heaven. It was patterned after the heavenly one. The presence of God was there. It was a place of sacrifice. And so the temple and the tabernacle were planned by God. It was patterned after a heavenly one. The temple was not drawn up by Solomon. It was designed in heaven. The glorious temple was destroyed in AD 70 by the Roman soldiers, as predicted by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. However, part of the foundation still remains for visitors to see. It's called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. What remains of the temple is a visible reminder of something designed in heaven and displayed on earth as evidence of the intervention and revelation of the only true God. Another evidence is actually the nation of Israel, the ransomed people of God. In Isaiah chapter 43, we're told that God formed this people to bring glory and honor to God. Israel, the family of Jacob, is a reminder to us of the faithfulness of the true and the living God.
That's right.
God formed the people of Israel to show forth his praise. Isaiah 43, verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praises." God is faithful to keep his promise to his chosen earthly people, Israel. According to Romans chapter 9 in the New Testament, the God of heaven had in mind to form a family of people through whom the Messiah, the Christ, would be born. When we see the national flag of Israel, the Star of David, we can be reminded of God's divine purpose for his people, Israel, God's everlasting nation. Israel was formed by the God of heaven and displayed on earth as evidence of the intervention and revelation of the only true God and of the truthfulness of the scriptures. The fifth evidence that I'd like to suggest that there is a Bible that we can rely upon is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer from above. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God sent his only begotten Son into the world to redeem us from the bondage of sin.
That's right.
According to 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 18 through 21, and elsewhere in the New Testament, our redemption was according to his plan that was ordained before the foundation of the world. The truth about our redemption is found written in the inspired scriptures. God's plan of redemption was fulfilled in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our redemption was planned in heaven and performed on earth. Our Redeemer from heaven was visibly manifested on earth, and he confirmed the promise of God found in the scriptures, Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. So the empty cross is a sign or token to remind us of the finished work of Christ, our Redeemer. The old rugged cross is the visible reminder of the intervention and revelation of the only true God who has given us the Word of God.
Amen. Dr. Phillips, well, let me ask a question that perhaps some of our listeners are thinking or saying. And we're talking about the importance of trusting the Word and realizing that the Word of God, their evidence is a biblical truth, and that's found in the Word of God. What would you say, Dr. Phillips, to a person that's saying, well, I don't trust the Bible, I don't believe the Bible? How would you respond to that? Perhaps someone is listening today that they've had some teaching that is contrary to the Scripture. They've been made to believe that the Bible is untrustworthy, that somehow, some way, that the Bible is not in totality of what God has said to us. How would you respond to that person that's listening today that needs their faith increased in the trustworthiness and the belief in the truthfulness of the Word of God?
One of the things I would suggest is that you please listen to what we're saying today and consider these evidences.
Yes.
And then get into the Word of God and read it for yourself. Read the book of John in the New Testament first. Then begin reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and ask God to show you His truth. David said something I think is so important in Psalm 25, verse 5. He said, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." What he was asking was for God to teach him the truth.
Yes. In fact, as you study, you mentioned about David, you study Psalms 119. All of Psalms 119, which is the longest chapter in all of the Word of God, all of Psalms 119 is about God's precepts, His promises, His ordinances, speaking of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Well, Dr. Phelps, tell us further as what we would, you would call the evidences of truth in the Word of God.
The next evidence I'd like to suggest is believers, the redeemed people of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we're reminded not only by reading the scriptures, but by the words of Jesus in John chapter 17, that we're not of this world. We're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. As the sons of God or children of God, we belong to the heavenly family. Believing Christians are the glory of God on display in the world.
Right.
As evidence of the intervention and revelation of the only true God who sent His Son to save us from our sins. John wrote, because as He is, so are we in the world. And I understand that to mean that we are His representatives. One of the truths we learn is that Jesus in heaven is head of the church, and we on earth are His body. He represents us in heaven, and we represent him here on earth. The sign or token that's visible to the world is the church, formed of believers, as evidence of the intervention and the revelation of the only true God and of the truthfulness of the scriptures. And so consider the seventh thing in these evidences concerning the truthfulness of the Word of God, and it's the Scripture itself, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul was writing his letter to young Timothy, and it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus."
Touching on that, if I could interrupt for just one moment, Dr. Phelps. Touching on that, and it gets into the fact of the Scriptures as being evidence of truth, and that's talking about God's truth. Let me just give a litany of thoughts, and then you can tie the loose ends together as we wrap up the broadcast today. For example, the Bible makes some very serious claims that God exists, that God created man, we didn't evolve, Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus died and rose again, and that as a result of that man, we will rise again. That unconfessed, unrepented of sin will send a person to hell. Jesus claims to be coming again. All of these things are, and we could go infinitum on the things that are stated in the Scripture, claims in the Scripture, statements in the Scripture. So we talk about the evidence of truth, and you're talking about now the Scriptures being that evidence. How would you respond to those that will have doubts about God's existence and this creation of man and what's now with the modern church, even where they're embracing evolution and other aberrant thoughts? What do we say when we talk about the Scripture and Scripture being the evidence of truth? Continue with that thought.
Well, in Psalm 119, 129, the Psalm writer spoke of the testimonies of God found in the Scriptures. Let me read Psalm 119, 129. "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." The word testimonies are the verses, the chapters, or sections of the Scripture that refer to Christ, to His ministry, or to His kingdom. So in God's written Word, the Bible, we read of promises concerning the living Word, who is God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is a visible reminder from heaven and displayed on earth as God's special revelation of truth to mankind. So there are seven evidences that I've mentioned that we have given from God that the scriptures, the Bible, were designed in heaven. They're displayed on earth as visible reminders of the divine intervention and revelation of the only true God. These evidences confirm the God-given truth of the Bible. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Going back to what David said in Psalm 138, verse 2, David offered praise for God's truth, and he made it very clear that the truth and God's word are synonymous. God magnifies his word, the word of his mouth, more than the works of his hands. Why? Because the works of his hands, heaven and earth, shall pass away. But not one jot or tittle, not one letter or mark of what God has spoken shall ever pass away. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And so we understand that God himself does not change, Malachi 3:6. God's word does not change. God's truth does not change. Truth is vital to our faith. When we respond by hearing, heeding, and honoring the word of truth, we're changed for the better. Truth will free you from the bondage of doubt. Truth will free you from the bondage of delusion. Truth will free you from the bondage of darkness. Truth will free you from the bondage of death. Truth will free you from the bondage of deception. And truth will free you from the bondage of dominion. Many people do not realize, but it is true that they, by their behavior and by their indulgence in many things, are in bondage to sin. Sin has control over them. Jesus tells us in John 8:36, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed."
Amen. One of the things that the scripture is very, very clear where Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." We're talking about truth today, ladies and gentlemen, and the word of God is truth. In fact, I am reminded of Dr. Adrian Rogers a number of years ago, and of course, he's still speaking, as it were, from heaven even today. But when he talked about evidences, there's a Bible, and that it's the fact, in fact, the truth that is the word of God. He gave three or four things that I've been impressed with down through the years. Dr. Rogers says, first of all, the Bible is true because it's scientifically accurate. Scientifically accurate. Secondly, he says, the Bible is truth and believable. It's evidence of that because the Bible is affirmed through historical accuracy. It's not only scientifically accurate, it is historically accurate. And then thirdly, he says the Bible is trustworthy and is truth because there's incredible unity in the Bible. About 1,500 years, 66 books, about 40 writers, and all of them like fingers fitting into a glove. The Bible fits together in its unity. And the Bible, the scripture says, endures forever, the word of God. Endures forever. Dr. Phelps, would you wrap us up with the last few thoughts that you have with about a minute that we have to go?
Some people imagine truth to be relevant. But we know that God's truth is absolute. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, "Thy word is truth." So one of the ways that you can know that the Bible is true is by reading it with an open mind. Be willing to be taught. Ask God to teach you what the Bible has to say to you.
That is by studying the Word, meditating on the Word. If you study the Word, meditate on the Word. Word meditate is mean simply to read it, think about it, pray over it, regurgitate it, if you will, and then go back and reread it and restate it again. Meditating on the Word day and night, the scripture says, is what we ought to do. May I challenge us, ladies and gentlemen, that we study the Word, know the Word, hide the Word in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. The Word of God is truth, and the Bible itself is evidence of that truth. Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.